So we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 24, Text Number 26. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Tan Prapan Arki Haro Bhagavan Dharma Vatsalaha Dharma Jan Shila Shampanan Kritaha Kritan Ubacha Ha Satan Prapan Arki Haro Bhagavan Dharma Vatsalaha Dharma Gyan Shila Shampanam Pritaha Pritanu Vajaha Satan Prapana Tarharo Bhagavan Dharma Vatsalaha Dharma Gyan Shila Prapanam Pritaha Pritanu Vachaha Satam Prapannarki Haro Bhagavan Dharma Vatsalaha Dharma Gyan Shila Shampanam Pritaha Pritanu Vachaha Satan Prapanaki Haro dangers. Bhagavan, the Lord, Dharma Vatsalaha, very much fond of religious principles. Dharma Gyan, persons who are aware of religious principles. Shila Sampanam, very well behaved. Pritaha, being pleased. Pritan, of very gentle behavior. Uvacha, talked with them. Ha, in the past. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, the Bhakti Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Lord Shiva became very pleased with the Prachetas, because generally Lord Shiva is a protector of pious persons and persons of gentle behavior. Being very much pleased by the princes, he began to speak as follows. Please repeat. Lord Shiva became very pleased with the Prachetas, because generally Lord Shiva is the protector of pious persons and persons of gentle behavior. Being very much pleased with the princes, he began to speak as follows. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu or Krishna, is known as Bhaktavatsala. And herein we find Lord Shiva is described as Dharma Vatsala. Of course, the word Dharma Vatsala refers to a person who lives according to religious principles. That is understood. Nevertheless, these two words have additional significance. Sometimes Lord Shiva has to deal with persons who are in the mode of passion and ignorance. Such persons are not always very much religious and pious in their activities. But since they worship Lord Shiva for some material profit, they sometimes obey the religious principles. As soon as Lord Shiva sees his devotees are following religious principles, he blesses them. The Prachetas, sons of Prachinabhari, were naturally very pious and gentle, and consequently Lord Shiva was immediately pleased with them. Lord Shiva could understand that the princes were sons of Vaishnavas, and as such Lord Shiva offered prayers to the Supreme Personality of Godhead as follows. Om Ajnanta Miram Tasha Janan Janan Shalakaya Chakshura Melitan Dina Tasmaya Shri Girayana Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Karadha Shri Vashari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hari 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 Rama Hari Rama 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 Hari Hari. So, as soon as Lord Shiva sees his devotees are following religious principles, he blesses them. The Prachetas, sons of Prachinabhari, were naturally very pious and gentle, and consequently, Lord Shiva was immediately pleased with them. Simply by being in the mode of goodness, a person becomes attractive. So this is a blessing in itself, because Lord Shiva, out of his causeless mercy, has just come to see them because he's attracted, because they're such nice, gentle persons. They're ready to perform severe austerities and penances underwater. So they're obviously very, very controlled, but simply by the demeanor, Lord Shiva, he has a natural inclination, oh, let me go and bless them. But this is very nice if the whole world is coming to the, at least to the Shaktagun. Then we see how blessings are much more easily available. So it's a position, putting yourself in a transcendental position, or even in the mode of goodness, we're often talking. I mean, so much is stressed about the mode of goodness. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna's always pushing us higher to become the mode of goodness and controlling and self-control and sense control. And so what is the purpose of all this purification, rising into a higher standard of purity in this material world, even though it's not really transcendental, it's still dealing with the modes of material nature. But the idea is that when one actually meets the pure devotee of Krishna, he can accept it. He can accept these instructions and association and put them into practice. But this is the benefit, the greatest benefit of becoming pious. Otherwise, piety in itself simply leads one to birth and death again in the pious atmosphere. So there's not a solution to the problems of this world. But if by good fortune you meet a devotee and you are pious, then you can accept those instructions. At least you'll be willing to listen, you'll lend an ear to it. If you're impious, you won't be attracted. So then the greatest disaster, it's very rare to meet a pure devotee of the Lord. If you do meet one and you can't take instructions, then it's a great loss, a great disaster. You may go back into the cycle of birth from billions and billions of births again before you meet a pure devotee. So this is the question. We may ask, how come the devotees from the Western countries accepted this message of we met a pure devotee, we were able to meet him, although we weren't pious. There was practically no piety there. Well, Prabhupada did also say, I have created your piety. But from another point of view, that because Prabhupada was so pure and completely transcendental, then he was naturally attractive to everyone. So he was getting facility by other superior personalities, including Lord Shiva. So they're giving their blessings even to Prabhupada, especially he was on a mission, and they were helping him. Lord Brahma, he's the founder acharya of the Brahma Sampradaya, which we at Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took initiation, and we were actually initiated into. Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya. But Prabhupada often said that the devatas are coming here. He said, didn't you see? We're at the Yatra festival, didn't you see the devas were there? And no, Prabhupada didn't see. Yeah, they were there, they were coming. And is it in buried place or in the manor? The Prabhupada said he should make a Vyasa sign, a small Vyasa sign each side of the altar. They said, what for, Prabhupada? He said, one is for Lord Brahma and one is for Lord Shiva. Or Narad Muni. Narad Muni and Lord Brahma, was it? And Shiva, okay, yeah. Narad Muni and Lord Shiva. He said, don't you see, they come for our sandhyatik sometimes. And that was when, you know, Prabhupada just kind of scraped a few living entities out of the gutters of London streets. And they were trying, but Lord Shiva and Brahma were coming. They were helping Prabhupada in this mission. So even Prabhupada was so that they were attracted to Srila Prabhupada also. And yeah, why not? This is probably been the greatest ecstasy of Lord Brahma since he started his movement. How many billions and billions of years ago? But now he's seen that someone in our sampradaya is going to the Malecha and he's getting them all, hurry ball, hurry ball. The Malechas, the Yavanas, even the Aborigines and the Zulus, they're all, hurry ball, they're all chanting. Not only that, they're all now in Mayapur, wandering around chanting Hare Krishna in Mayapur. So they were very pleased. They come to help him. Perhaps also just for the fun of it, for the laugh of it, because I think it's in New York, and some man already had a suit and tie on and his shoes on. He walked into the temple. The open door walked in. He said, I think Prabhupada was giving a class. He said, you're all malechas here. He walked out again. The Prabhupada said, yes, that was Narad Muni. So even they put disguise on there. We put disguise on sometimes in distribute books. So even Narad Muni puts on a disguise. He had shirt and tie and shoes. But they're very happy to see this is going on. So they've got coming and assisting and helping. I mean, it doesn't mean just those few times that Prabhupada explained. It's obviously many times he didn't say anything, but Prabhupada says in the Krishna book that the activities of the International Society of Krishna Consciousness are going on under the direct, I think he uses the word, supervision of Srila Rupa Goswami. So he was only 500 years ago. But he said they're going on, the International Society of Krishna Consciousness is only about 45 years old. So the activities of the International Society of Krishna Consciousness under the supervision of the Srila Rupa Goswami. So that means they're very much conscious, and why shouldn't they be? It's their sampradaya, it's their movement, it's the Lord's desire. They're all anxious to fulfill the Lord's desire and propagate the mission. So why shouldn't they come? It's not that they don't have the ability. So this is the transcendence we are dealing with. It is beyond time and space as we know it. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur also had that vision when he was at the joke pit. And he said he saw Mahaprabhu coming, Panchatattva coming from the eastern direction. But the kid, all the devotees were there. They were bringing Harinam Sankirtan. Six Goswamis were there. Bhaktivinoda Thakur was there. Gopishwar Das Babaji was there. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta's own Guru Maharaj. They were all there, coming in, doing kirtan. And they gave instruction to him that you give up your austerities. That was when he was performing very great austerities here, chanting Ekoti Laknam. It means you chant 64 rounds a day for 10 years. That was his vrata. I want to complete this vrata. And he did. So at the end of that, toward the end, then they come and say, give up your austerity, give up this. Now you go out and preach. They said, you don't have to worry about anything because we're all behind you. We're all behind you. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nityananda Advaita. What to speak of all the Vaishnava Acharyas? What to speak of all the way back to Brahma and Sri Krishna himself, the originator of the Brahma Sampradaya? By his flute sound entered into the ears of Brahma, he initiated it. And he started this. But we're all behind you, you don't worry about anything. When you need money, we'll send it, you don't worry. You preach. When you need manpower, you don't worry. We will send it. You don't have to worry about anything, you go out and preach fearlessly. So this is the nature of this transcendental movement. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta always used to quote, the Lord is known as Tripikram, Bhammana Dev. He's only 5 years old and he's a little boy like this. But he's able to put his toe through the universe. Very, very uncommon. So he said, this is who we have behind us. Very, very uncommon things can be done. you wouldn't expect it. But very uncommon things can be done. So that's who we have, that's where our faith is. There's nothing we cannot accomplish. Piti piti chato akanagata radhikam sabhatu pachpoi bimoranam. In every town and village of the world, the names of Krishna will be sung. And even the Prabhupada's godbrothers, and perhaps even the acharyas before, they were saying, well, how is it possible? That the holy name is going to spread all over the world there. For the last 1,000 years, India was under Muslim rule, the Yavanas. They got harassment from the Vaishnavas. Who was thinking? Since Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance, that later on all these Yavana countries also, they'll be chanting Hare Krishna. Couldn't imagine it, what to speak of the Malechas. But the further away you get from India, the less Vedic culture is followed. So you go out to the Malechas and Swapachas, Dalitas. But who would have ever imagined that Prabhupada is making it happen? Because we have, he has that whole potency of the Parampara Krishna himself. But behind to this, nothing is impossible. Prabhupada would just say, always just say, think big. When preaching, think big. Anything, nothing is impossible. So everything can be accomplished. So here specifically, we're talking about how Lord Shiva has become pleased with the Prajatas. And although it says Lord Shiva is, he only appears on special occasions in a few verses ago, only when there is, we see he pops up all the time in his ISKCON movement. And it must be special, right? He only appears in special places, but he keeps popping up in ISKCON. Prabhupada, he's helping with the sampradaya. But factually, he's all pervading. He is present as a time force. He's everywhere. The reason my mouth is moving is because of the time factor. It's moving everything. It's the instrumental force. It's the masculine principle. Lord Shiva appears as the masculine principle, the lingam. And Devi appears as the feminine principle. And then the combination of those, that's the whole creation starts. So he's present in this world as the masculine principle, as the driving force. He's pushing everything. Everything is moving because of Lord Shiva. Wherever you look, there's activity. That is Lord Shiva's potency. So he's all pervading it. Is it the impersonal feature? But he is actually present everywhere as time. Time I am, destroyer of all the world. So this was, Krishna was saying, time I am. And he was showing how he was destroying all the world. And the Pandava army and the Kuru's army was chewing everyone up. What is this ghastly form? Time I am, Krishna says. So this is Lord Shiva. He comes so many times. Time means that the ultimate destruction is time. Then Lord Shiva destroys the whole universe. And I can't remember where Prabhupada says it now. It's in the Bhagavatam purport. But anyway, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita that there is this whole substance, the Brahman, or the material, whole material existence. And there is the spiritual living entity. And I impregnate those living entities into the material existence. Material existence is dead matter. Krishna says, I inject the mass of the living entities, the tathastha shakti, who are living force, into the various bodies made up of prakriti. Then they come to life. There is life there. When someone leaves their body, you see there's no life in their eye. The moment the soul leaves, the spark has gone, there's no life. Then they look like a wax model or something like that. But when he injects, then life comes. Because the living entity is by nature life. And he has desire. So as soon as he desires, then the body starts working. He doesn't actually move the body. The body is moved by the time who is pushing the three modes of material nature. The living entity, he doesn't have even the power to move independently, this body. But he can bring it to life. The jiva tasa, he brings life into that dead matter. Then it's life. Then with his desire, then Krishna actually does the moving. But that movement is down in from of Lord Shiva, that that pushes Lord Shiva. And Prabhupada says that you know, all these species are made possible by my entrance of Samukunti, because I am the seed-giving father. Ham Pita Pratipita. Krishna says, 14th chapter, 4th story. Aham Pita Pratipita. I am the seed-giving father. So Krishna is speaking to Arjuna on the battlefield, on the chariot. It's not Shiva speaking to Arjuna, it's Krishna. But he's saying, I am the seed-giving father. But Krishna is transcendental. How he can impregnate material energy? He doesn't touch material energy. He throws his glance. His glance becomes dislocated, so he doesn't actually touch. And even that's carried and transformed into it. But he doesn't touch material energy. So how can Krishna say, I'm the seed-giving father of everyone? He doesn't create the species. How he can touch? Krishna doesn't touch material energy. So Prabhupada said, when Krishna is saying this to Arjuna, Aham Pita Pratipita, I am the seed-giving father, he means in the form of Lord Shiva. When Krishna has to touch the material world, he does so in the form of Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva is Krishna himself, he's the transformation of Krishna. Nilkanda Yoga. And he's specifically empowered to deal with the material world, specifically the modes of ignorance. He's the controller of the modes of ignorance. His worshipful lord is Shankarshan. Shankarshan is actually the controller of the mode of ignorance. But same potency is there. So Prabhupada makes that distinction that when Vishnu, he has to touch material, but he doesn't. So he does in the form of Lord Shiva. Therefore when Krishna is saying Aham Pita Pratipita, it is Krishna, but Krishna in the form of Lord Shiva, who impregnates all the living entities. He is the seed-giving father. But not in the form of Krishna, in the form of Lord Shiva. But he's speaking to Arjuna, I am the seed-giving father. He's not telling lies. Because he is. His expansion of Lord Shiva is the seed-giving father. But there's no difference. It's his manifestation, his incarnation. So Krishna's not making a distinction. In tattva. In rasa there is always difference too. But this is Shiva's position. How powerful he is. He's practically, he's moving everything. He's the big mover around him. This time. The masculine principle. Destructive. Time I am. Krishna says, I am Tasa, that's Shiva. I am destruct, again Krishna says, I am destructible, destructible time, again, that's when he's, when Krishna is saying, I am this, I am destructible time, that he means in the form of Lord Shiva. Of the destroyers or of destruction, I am time. So there's a story in the Mahabharata, and it was the battle's finished, the Kuruketra battle's finished. Practically everyone's dead, all the gurus are dead. There's some left, Pandavas are left, but the battle is finished, so at night time, after the night after the battle, everyone is, you know, they've been fighting for 28 days. They're exhausted, and anyway, they had a little celebration because they won. And so now they're in sound sleep. The victory is for the Pandavas. But Ashwatthama and Kripa and someone else was there. They were still burning with rage. We have to somehow or another destroy. But and Ashwatthama, he was really, really angry. The others said, look, let's forget it. Let's forget it. It's all over. He couldn't sleep and he was, I must take revenge. I must. Then he was looking up, and all these crows were sleeping in the trees. And one big owl came along. He was sitting next to the crows. And Then the next one, he moved over a little bit. Then another kid moved over to the next one. And she started chewing all the crows because at night they can't see anything. They're daylight birds. The owl is a night bird, he could see. So they said, yes, nighttime, they're all sleeping. He said, this is the indication. I'm going to kill them. And at that time he was empowered by Lord Shiva. Did Lord Shiva appear there? A really fearsome, ferocious form. Somehow or another, I can't remember his name, but I believe he, anyway, he entered into Ashwatthama, it was Lord Shiva. And you have to read that. And if you've got a weak heart, you don't read it. It's very, very ferocious. It makes your hair stand on end, but it's blood curdling. But he went in and he just killed it. He killed the five sons. And it was just, you know, it's just a massacre, blood massacre. If you read that, I've never seen such, heard such a, even in imagination, you can't, massacre, dissolution. It's wholesale, he was killing everybody. And everyone seemed, the Rakshasas are here, the Rakshasas are coming. So that was Lord Shiva. So he wiped out everyone. Practically, he finished up everyone. There's only the Pandavas were left, practically. Very, very fierce and cold, so. This is the potency that Lord Shiva has here. There's another story of Lord Shiva. This is when he gets prasad from Narad Muni. And he's in so much ecstasy, he performs his dance. But he forgets everything. It turns into the what's it called? The Dance of Destruction. What's the name of that dance? Tandava dance. Famous Shiva pose with his hair flying out. And he forgets everything. He goes crazy and does it. You have to be a bit intoxicated to destroy the universe. But anyway, he was doing this. He got Mahaprasad from Narad Muni. Narad Muni got from Rukmini, who got from Lord Narayan. Because the glories of the Mahaprasad are sung in the Vedas, but nobody actually got it directly. So Narad Muni said, I want to get some of that. We're always talking about Mahaprasad. They get some directly from his plate. So he went and he served Rukmini for 12 years, very faithfully. And after that, she was very pleased with him. And she said, Narada, I'm very pleased. You ask me anything you want, I will give you. I'm the goddess of fortune. I can bestow anything. He said, well, thank you very much. I just want a little bit of the remnants of Lord Narayan, this Mahaprasad. She said, oh my God. She said, that's one thing he told me not to do. Never give my prasad to anyone. Oh, what can I do? So he was in a complete dilemma. And Lord Krishna noticed, Rukmini, something is bothering you. And she said, there is something bothering me, but I'm frightened to tell you, I'm very frightened, please, I'm holding on to your lotus feet, please forgive me, but something very, I've done something wrong, oh, what have we done? Vishnu's there, and Sudarshan Chakra is standing there. He looks at him, kind of. Sudarshan says, I didn't do anything. I didn't know. But there's something wrong with her. There's definitely something wrong. What is it, Rukmini? She said, well, Narad Muni, he did austerities, and none of you knew, but he was serving me faithfully for 12 years. And I gave him a benediction that I would give him something of Mahaprasad. But that's what you, and you promised, you told me, never give my Mahaprasad to anyone. So, please forgive me, I disobeyed. You're right, I made a promise, I made a benediction to Lord Shiva and to Narad Muni, and I can't keep my... So, Narad is my great devotee. You can give him some, when I'm not looking, you can give him. So she was very relieved and happy. So she gave Narad that prasad, and said, I got it. At last, I've got it. Nobody gets it. This is what's glorified in the Vedas. So he took the prasad and he became in ecstasy. So he was zooming around in the universe with his veena, and Radhika Ramana was in a complete ecstasy. And I can tell Lord Shiva my good fortune. So we went out to Shiva Loka. And so she said, what's happening, Narad? What's happening? I've never seen you like this before. He said, no, I got it. He said, what did you get? He said, I got prasadam of Lord Narayan, direct prasadam of Lord Narayan. Really? Really? Give me a little bit. Narad went, well, I just got the prasad and I ate it. I just ate it. So she was getting really angry. He said, I'm your brother. And you didn't say many Mahaprasadam. You got that Mahaprasad from Lord Narayan. And he became very angry, but he's tried it. I think he got his trouble. Anyway, he said, no, hey, look. No, there's a little bit of prasadam, that finger there. Look, you see that little bit of prasadam? You take it. So Lord Shiva, oh, he became in ecstasy. So then he began his dance. And he became so ecstatic, the whole universe was shaking. Mount Sumeru was rocking backwards and forwards. And then the earth planet was rocking. It was like, because he forgot everything. It was like a devastation dance. And he was... He was rocking so much that Anantadeva was pushing his hoods back. Because he's holding all the universes. So Anantadeva was going back and it went touch Karma, because Karma's sitting on the bottom of the universe. The big tortoise. Anantadeva's on his back holding all the universe. So he pushed it. He's dancing, pushed his head right back and touched the back of Karma's head. Karma popped his head out of the shell. What's going on up there? The whole universe was up. It was rocking. So, but Mother Earth, she said, I'll go and see Parvati Devi. It's the only one I can control him. So she rushes, please, Mother, come and see what's happening. The whole world is going to be destroyed. So she comes down and she speaks some kind of harsh words. Well, she was, you kind of get him out of his trance. And she says, and he says, what did you do? Why did you do that? Why did you do that? I was in such ecstasy and you stopped me. You're trying to take my life? What kind of wife are you? And she says, no, my dear husband, please don't be angry. But look, the whole universe is in disorder. You were creating such a noise and you're roaring, chanting and roaring was bouncing off the universal shell and everything became, it was like the whole pralaya was going on in this destruction. So she tells him, that so he becomes peaceful and everyone becomes peaceful. And then she says, but by the way, why was you ecstatic like that? I've never even seen you so ecstatic like that. What is the cause behind that? He said, well, I got the prasad from Narayana. Narad Muni came and bought me a bit of prasad. She said, oh, great. Great. Give me a little bit there. He said, well, it's only a little bit. And I took it. She said, what you did was not proper. She said, first of all, she said, I always thought you were kind to me. And I'm half your body. But today, your false love is revealed. You have no affection for me. You cheated me. And Shiva says, well, actually, as the Shakti, you really have no right to receive this transcendental treasure. Oh, on saying that, she became furious. I have no right to receive it. She's the Shakti potency. You have no right. She became furious. Then she became so wild again, the universe started shaking. She said, if you weren't kind to me, but I say, if I ever get that Mahaprasad, I'll make it available for the dogs, the jackals, anybody around. They'll be able to take that prasad. I'll make it available to anyone, not like you just eat it yourself. So she was fear. Then Vishnu came down. The whole universe is in disorder again. She said, Mother, I'll fulfill your desire. You don't be pacified. So that desire is fulfilled in two ways. One is as Lord Jagannath, he comes and he distributes his prasad to anybody can get his Mahaprasad. And another description is the form of Lord Chaitanya, who comes and he makes Jagannath worship all over the world. Krishna worship is all over the world, and everyone, even outside of India, they're able to take Jagannath's prasadam and Krishna's prasadam due to the sankirtan. So she got these two benedictions. So that's why she stays in one form as Dilmala Devi in Jagannath temple. So after they offered prasad to Jagannath, it has to go to Dilmala Devi first. Here, this form of Parvati. You take the prasad. Because by your mercy only, the Lord promised that he will make the prasad available to everyone. But by your mercy. So we offer all the prasad, or at least some of Jagannath prasad, gets first offered to Dilmala Devi. And then it's distributed to everyone else. So in Puri they say that unless it's offered to Dilmala Devi, it's not prasadam. You have to offer it to prasadam. At Jagannath's prasadam. For them, only Jagannath prasad is existing. So that prasad you have to offer to Dilmala Devi. There were some devotees, ISKCON devotees. They ordered Mahaprasad from Jagannath temple and then they brought it to their hotel. They were lined up with their plates. They were honoring Mahaprasad. And the pandas come and they brought all Jagannath's Mahaprasad. And then a big argument started. A big debate was going on. And everyone was going, come on, we're hungry. Serve the prasadam, serve the prasadam. The pandas said, we're not serving prasadam here. I said, why not? I said, you already got some food on your plate. This is, no. This is from our ISKCON temple. Radha Damodar from Puri. This is our ISKCON temple at the Bappi Kutia. This is Radha Krishna Mahaprasadam. One devotee just came back and he put a bit of prasadam on everyone's plate. This is not prasadam. There is only one prasadam in Jagannath Puri. That's Jagannath's prasadam. We will not put on our we will not so unchaste that we will put our prasadam on Jagannath prasadam with that other food. It won't be there. It will not be served. But this is their bhakti, so much faith they have. So much love they have for Jagannath. They're very ferocious sometimes. I mean, they showed a lot of enmity towards it, but the love they have for Jagannath is incredible. I was outside the Lion Gate one time and Pandu was there. I said, can you bring some prasad for us? So he went inside and there was some other pandas were standing there, they were laughing. the Malechas, that's me and another devotee. Malecha Malech. In love. So then he came out with a prasadam, and the two other guys were standing there criticizing Malecha. So I got some prasadam. And I immediately went over to these guys and said, Jagannath prasadam, and they went. A minute ago we were Malechas. But they would take Jagannath prasadam and hand him a Malecha. They know that this is the love they have for Jagannath. They didn't hesitate to take it immediately. But the reason that they're so inimical, they used to be even worse in the early days. They were very heavy with ISKCON devotees, but it's not without reason. There is a prediction, there's a book on predictions. Vanachuta Nanda. He's a contemporary of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he wrote a book on different predictions about Jagannath. And they're all coming true. Everything he says is coming true. So there's this prediction that he said that one time, you see the Russian devotees, I think it's Russian. Any Russian devotees here? Okay, that's good. I think it's Russian. Anyway, foreign devotees come and they kidnap Lord Jagannath, which indicates that in the future that foreign devotees can go in the temple. They go in there, they kidnap, and they put a duplicate there. How they do that, I don't know, because he's pretty big. Over 7 feet tall. But maybe they go in a big mass sankirtan, all the thousands of devotees, and maybe all the pundits get. Anyway, they steal Lord Jagannath, they kidnap him and put a duplicate there. And then they take him away, they put him on a train. And that train goes off by Cuttack. Then the pundits find out something has happened. They kidnap Jagannath, put a duplicate there. So they chase him, the big battle takes place. And then that carriage with Lord Jagannath is separated from the train. The train goes off and the carriage, and Jagannath, he stays there. They say he doesn't go back to the temple, he stays in that place. Now that place, there's a big temple there already, they built, waiting for Jagannath to come. Many, many years it took to build that. They would let 100 men in there, workmen every day. But that place is there. And of course there weren't trains at that time when he wrote that. But he indicated some kind of carriage. But since that time, a few years ago, they just made a new railway line. I think from there to Cuttack. For industrial purpose, they just made a new railway line there that goes right through that place next to the place where the temple is. So that's why they were very angry with Western devotees. They must have seen us like Kamsa. I would too, wouldn't you? Kamsa's coming, he's going to kill our Krishna. They see the sahibs, oh, he's coming to take our Jagannath. Naturally, it's out of love. That's why they don't like us. They think we're going to come and take their Krishna, their bhakti. Yeah? They're born lovers of Jagannath. Very special people. Jagannath Swami ki. Jagannath Mahaprasadam ki. Srila Prabhupada ki. Jai Nitai Go Premanandi. Any question or comment?
Hallelujah.